Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not, no, that's not.
Wait.
Yeah,
that's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs in the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Go take a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cuties can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Alright, well, it's over.
Yeah, and it was over before the game was over. Cause
thanks a lot, Chiefs.
Yeah,
hey. Thanks a lot, dude.
I think we could have put the lava out there and created more resistance.
Whew. I agree.
Jeez.
I mean, they rolled over going into Milehead yesterday.
And you know what? This is what sucks about sports. When you don't control your own destiny and you're relying on somebody else to do something, right? You're just mad.
It's
right?
Such a mad that, yeah.
Like they have nothing. They literally have nothing to play for, and we're begging that they go out and play like they're playing in the Super Bowl.
It's a very pathetic feeling. Right. It's a very pathetic feeling. Now, please, Carson, you can tell dial you what, it up.
After I saw that, all right, not even before I saw that, the Saints and the Falcons. Just watching those two games.
That was great. How was that trash heap division? That was the best part of the day by far yesterday, yes. Having both those games going.
Both those games going on. You're like,
This is fun. Bryce Young was cooking. Michael Penix, a nice little duel. And then you had Mike Evans going for the record. It was a fun 1 o'clock slate.
But I mean, that was crazy. Like just going back and forth. And then they did the NCAA tournament box.
Yeah.
The score of the other game in the corner. I'm like, this is awesome.
It was fire yesterday, man. Because the Saints got out.
That I could give a rat's ass about. Yeah. That's what kills me.
That was as low as the football guy yesterday, because the worst division had the most exciting games.
Oh my goodness. I'm like, wait a minute. What? And then I start thinking, what happens if both teams lose? Because right now it's not looking good.
I believe if both teams lost, the Bucks had they had the better record, but the same, right. But the Falcons had the tiebreak and they beat them twice this year.
Right,
so that's what we were going for. That was what the look was. But I tell you what, how about Bryce Young?
Yeah.
Get you know, Andy Dalton gets into a fender bender, and then all of a sudden, Bryce Young has a little bit of resurgence at the end of the year.
You know what it is? It's, I don't understand for the life of me how a team can invest so much time and so much money in a player, right? And then throw him out there and say, win us a game. Like, it's no matter who it is, it's still a prospect. He still needs development. And the some players need more development than others. Some don't need any. Like, but you still have to go through that process. And so many players get thrown into the fire without doing the kind of the legwork of what it takes to play that position. And then we go, oh, he's a bust. He ain't the guy. When in actuality, he probably shouldn't have been playing yet because he wasn't ready. Like, Spo is too much, right? Spo does it with his young bigs. It's too much. But in some instances in football, you can see it too. You can see, oh, this guy needs just a little bit of work. He needs to see somebody do it or something like that. And these teams ruin quarterbacks that way. And thank God Bryce Young got to sit. He wouldn't have been playing all year, right? He wouldn't have been playing all year if Dalton was healthy. And he learned some things. He picked up some stuff watching. And he's played a lot better since he came back.
Let's get to headlines here brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen miles in stock with the T1, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Dolphin season ends. They lose 32-20 to the Jets. Boof. They finish the season 8-9. And then Stephen Ross, shortly after there, releases a statement. Is this a new thing, releasing statements that you're not firing people? Is it like this became the... This became the thing yesterday throughout the league because there were three of these that were surprising. With,
you know what it's called? Getting out ahead of it.
I guess so.
Because you know what the questions would be for the next week. But I, listen, here's what I would say about Chris Greer. He has a very close relationship and has had a very close relationship with Stephen Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me that the two of them would sit in a room and he would stay on board in some capacity and save face while going out and getting a new GM. That's how this, you know, kind of is playing out.
I'm sorry, Frog Boy. I just lashed out at him in the private chat.
I know, wow, like,
too much. Like, what? No way.
He just hit us with, like, you know, you guys have to see this.
He hit us with some PFF on Bryce Young.
Just copy and paste it. More Bryce Young. That is the most research you've done in the history of this show, where you've given us so much Bryce Young data that I'm just like, hey, we get it. He's been good. Ready to move on.
You guys are talking about mechanics and how long. No, dude. He talked to Rod Wave. He got good. That's what we need to do, man. Our
Didn't Tua love Rod Wave? Didn't work out for him.
They didn't meet him. He's just listening to his. We got to meet him. Got to talk. That's our problem, guys. We're just missing a little Rod Wave love.
I guess. But it's still, you know, because does anybody know about Caleb in Chicago? What's going to happen to him? They're switching coaches. They're doing this. He's going to have a new system.
Might have Brian Flores.
Oh. Good luck.
There's Brian Flores. Actually, there's some Anthony. Yesterday was not good for Anthony Weaver's final resume because the Jets cooked his defense. But there was supposedly reports going into the weekend the Bears were doing a lot of their due diligence on Bob and Weave.
Now, my question is this. When you have a number one pick and you take Caleb, Do you go with an offensive-minded head coach or do you go with a defensive-minded head coach and risk kind of what happened to Tua?
I don't know. I don't know. I think from their standpoint, maybe they pull a what they did with McDaniel with Boyer in the first year. Maybe they just keep their offensive coordinator. I don't know.
But
I don't know.
Tried to sell that.
I don't know. I'm just saying,
like, the clearly your primary investment in the last couple of years has been your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In fact, you've invested in two quarterbacks in the last 5 years. That being said, would it not?
Who's the guy?
Sound to go to a defensive guy?
Well, here's the thing, though. Who are the candidates right now that are hot? Like, it's going to be
the biggest one is Ben Johnson.
Yeah, but there's a lot of
he might stay.
Ben Johnson seems like he is like being the offensive coordinator. I'm good,
right?
But
right.
I got no heat. I love it here. Like, I don't think he's leaving unless it's the quintessential position, and he ain't leaving for the division to get his teeth kicked in for a few years.
That's
right. Like, no way, dude.
There's a couple of places that I'm not going. And one is Chicago, and the other three teams are secure. So
you got O'Connell. There was all these rumors yesterday that they were going to maybe trade O'Connell because he was. They said afterwards it was crazy that wasn't true. But Jay Glazer, like, he's a pretty reputable guy. Like, he's not
see what I mean about how these things play out. Like, the fact that there's even any conversation about that team and about moving coaches is crazy.
Doug Peterson just got fired, so I guess he's available.
I mean, now is it? See, and here's the other thing. Like, how much of it is the owner and how much of it is the coach? Because here they kind of have the same situation we think we have down here, is that you keep switching coaches, but the GM is still there.
And they hate him. They hate everybody. You see what I'm saying? Everybody hates Trent Baalke up there.
Right. So how do you go about that? Because
I think they showed you how they went about it. They kept the GM and they fired the coach.
He might have, you know, the ear of the owner. And this is two things. It's getting back on track or covering your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. A GM can cover his ass. A coach can't. Right. He's out there. That record speaks to him more than anything. And they're not going to all of a sudden say, you know, it's not the coach's fault. It's the GM's fault. Nobody ever says that.
The Giants are keeping everybody. Dayball and Joe Shane.
What the hell is that? Is that not the crazy thing?
that one to me is the most surprising so far.
Well, part of it is, you know, you're going to get a quarterback. What are they, second or third?
No, they're third, and the Browns and the Titans are above them. And the word is the Titans apparently love Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So they might not get a quarterback. They're going to trade up. I don't know. I guess the Browns. Well, I would have thought the Browns would have. Like, you don't think the Browns are going to? You don't think the Browns are ready to get their Deshaun Watson heir?
No.
I guess you have to really believe in Shador.
It's too much against the cap. So what do you do? Do you take Shador?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Right. Or trade down.
Hmm.
Like it. Like, clearly, the Browns are in the worst position to have the second pick, because if you pick a quarterback with everything else going on around your team, defense getting older, offensive line getting older, running back, maybe done trying to, you know, play the style of football you want to play, then, like, the one position that would set you back is having a quarterback and having him sit. Right? Because that means you've done absolutely enough to improve your team immediately. So, but Shador Sanders, you put him on defense, you can put him on offense, you can do Travis Hunter. Sorry. I don't know why I did that. Travis Hunter. Shador and Cam have a lot of, they do a lot of common things. Right. Both are really cool. Both do that little slow scramble thing. Right. So I don't know. I don't know how these teams go about it. The Dolphins are what, 13th?
13th, right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. Right in the Marino spot.
No, Marino was in the 20s.
No, I'm just saying his number was 13.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. We'll get into all things Dolphins. Stephen Ross gives out a statement. Tyreek Hill apparently wants out. Tua finished the season, I guess, with a torn hip. Sits on the sidelines and
took a nap.
Fell asleep in the fourth quarter. Who can blame him? take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Miami Dolphins season ended yesterday. They lose to the Jets. Stephen Ross, after the game, although Mike McDaniel had answered that he had heard that he was going to be back, it was confirmed by Stephen Ross. He says, I want to thank the players and coaches for their hard work throughout the 24 season, as well as the fans for their support. As owner of this team, I am ultimately accountable for our success and failures. We fell short of our expectations this season, and I understand and share in the frustration in our performance on the field. As we now look towards 2025, our football operations will continue to be led by Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel with my full support. There's a positive working relationship. Oh, their positive working relationship is an asset to the Dolphins, and I believe in the value of stability. However, continuity and leadership is not to be confused with acceptance of status quo being good enough. We will take a hard look at where we have fallen short and make the necessary changes to deliver our ultimate goal of building and sustaining a winning team and compete for championships.
I mean, that's kind of how the conversation goes, right? I mean, that's the.
I really was not surprised, dude. Like we said a couple weeks ago, as soon as he tossed a game ball to Mike McDaniel, I mean, that solidified it for me. I'm like, hey, Mike McDaniel ain't going anywhere. Chris Greer, I mean, there were some rumors and rumblings over the weekend that there was talk that he might take another position in the organization or might, you know, move to like a figurehead position and that they would go somewhere else, or there was even retirement rumors of Chris Greer. But that all appears to be bull bleep. He's going to be back. I'm sure he's going to talk either tomorrow or later this week and give his assessment. I don't know. It's one of these things too, where it's like, all right, how do they feel like this is going to change? Right. Because, you know, the Dolphins went all in, and it felt like their best chance to win it, Leroy, was last year, and they fell apart. Like, they got hurt, they got the healthy Tua season, incredible Tyreek Hill season, and then, you know, everybody got banged up. They ran out of pass rushers, and they got drubbed. This year, it felt flimsier. Tua missed more games than ever. He now has a hip injury that is worse than we're led on to believe by him, and I don't really know what to make of him saying, oh, there's no ifs, ands, or buts that I was going to play in a playoff game, which they were very unlikely to be in anyway.
That's why you say it. Come on.
Right. It is why you say it. And then, but then the reports leak and be like, well, it's actually a really bad injury, and it's a tear that, you know, it's a muscle that could tear worse. You always say, right, the strain is actually just a tear. And so it seems like, yeah, it seems like, and he said that this was as painful as an injury as he had with his broken ankle in Alabama, you know, and so this was just a nightmare year. It really was. Like, the one thing you couldn't afford this year with the losses that you had on the defensive side, the one thing you couldn't afford was Tua missing a quarter of the season with a concussion, and then not being able to end the season because of some other injury. Like, that's the disappointment of all of this. And look, I love him. I think he's talented, but the durability issues have followed him since college, and it's the biggest red flag on him. And I don't know how anybody can go into next year feeling like he's going to get through a season, because it feels like any time he tries to leave the bubble of the pocket, he's at risk to really hurt himself.
I mean, there's a couple. I mean, so you have to, I mean, prepare your team accordingly and hope for the best, right? I mean, that's all you can do because he's going to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I suppose he is going to be here. But it is, like, really. And we know that Skylar Thompson was not a good enough option to replace him in the middle of the season. Are you distracted, dude? Are you good?
No, I'm good.
I just want to make sure. Like, it seems like we lost you there for a second.
You didn't lose me.
Scott.
Attention, baby.
Okay. I don't think you were. Skylar Thompson was clearly not like the viable option to put. I don't know who is. Like, I don't know. We're going to get 41-year-old Joe Flacco. Who you want, Frog Boy?
I don't want Joe Flacco.
Is Aaron Rodgers available? Because the way he looked yesterday was amazing. I think that hurt the most, too. Like, not only was it, we're out of the playoffs, Tua sleeping on the sidelines. No one is doing Tyler Huntley's having his worst game. But then Aaron Rodgers, his two best games come against us.
Well, did you what the thing is that's great about Snoop Huntley? Like, you live in a place where nobody really cares about, respectfully, nobody really cares about what Snoop Huntley says.
Yeah.
And Snoop Huntley was like, the weather was a factor yesterday. It was slipping all over the place. And I thought to myself, man, if Tua said that, he would be getting killed. He would be getting crushed, but we're like, it's okay. Like, I just hear that from Snoop. I'm like, it's okay, buddy. You tried. Like, I just want to give him a hug, you know, maybe send him a box of empanadas and be like, hey, it's all right, buddy. You tried. It's not your fault, baby. We asked too much of you.
I tell you what, like, you ever notice and pay attention to this? When you watch a football game and it's really cold, how dark the footballs are.
Yeah.
Because them things are all kinds of like Vaseline on them and stuff like that to keep them moist. Because dry football is very slippery.
I was more mad at Tua yesterday.
Wasn't even playing.
I know. You know what, dude? Here's the problem. I need the Dolphins to get something for me. All right. You know, because I very clearly they're good with status quo. All right. I don't care what my Stephen Ross, your actions speak louder than words.
I mean,
but here's what I need. Here's what
retaining everybody doesn't say they're okay with status quo.
It kind of does, though. It kind of does. As long as Eichenberg's not back next year. But here's what I would like. I need the Dolphins in December to have a fashion checker for the sidelines, okay? Because they have messed up too many times this year where Mike McDaniel tried to look too tough in Green Bay and just go hoodie, and he was shivering like a mouse. And then Tua, Leroy, as a football player, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tough, you're tough. Should a man who's not playing get the QB snuggie?
Hell yeah.
No, dude, he can't have the football snuggie. Get him a jacket. Get him Gore-Tex. I don't care. But he cannot have that poncho on during the game when he's not taking snaps.
Because he ain't doing no running.
Right.
Oh, he's colder than everybody.
I don't care, dude. You got to go with just clothes. He can't have a blanket on. He can't have a blanket on.
Why not?
He looked like Babushka.
Yes. Yes.
I thought he was active for a second. I was like, oh, why? Is Tua in uniform? Did I miss something? Because I was very confused as to why he had the snuggie on.
Would you have been more pissed off if he just stayed home?
No, I wouldn't have, actually. I would have been like, yeah.
That's probably would have been a little better because him sleeping on the sideline was not necessarily.
Dude, he was out cold.
He was
knocked
out.
Nobody did themselves a favor this week. One was Pat Riley, who seems like he got caught napping at the Jazz game. Which, understandable. My son, it was his first Heat game, and he was sleepy poos nearly by the second quarter.
Like, he's like, Dad, forget this basketball. Let's go to hockey.
Hey, luckily, his 9-year-old heart took it the right way, and he just hates the Jazz now. Which, really? You know, like,
hey, but that's probably because, let's just say this. I'm more than sure some of your antics. Watching the game led him to I hate Utah too.
My antics weren't anything other than face planting.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing in my hands because the Heat came out of halftime, gave up a rebound on a free throw, and it turned into a Lauri Markkanen three. And I was just like, are you kidding me? That's the effort you guys are going to give after suspending Jimmy Butler for giving no effort.
I can't figure this team out, dude. Like you have, and one of the things that I would say is, at least with other teams that have a lot of young players, they let them learn on the fly, right? With all, and I look at it this way. With all this play 'em, sit 'em, Sky Force back and forth, and you say they're getting, you know, some valuable learning, they're not. Because if you're sending them down there to play against guys that they should be a lot better than and not letting them take their lumps in the big leagues, right? At some point, they're still going to have to go through that process. And so you trying to figure out how we're going to do that. Oh, he earned minutes. He did. No, he's got to learn how to play against the top players in basketball. He's got to learn how to not foul. All these young guys have to do that. And it shouldn't be we brought him up because he earned it when we damn know, well, no, you only got eight players dressing and he has to play. That shouldn't be the conditions in which he plays. They got to go through their bumps and bruises like everybody else, because what ends up happening is they don't get a lot of substantial time. And then they play for like 2 years and ball out. And now you got to decide whether to give them a max contract when you should have got the whole 3 or 4 years out of them to make that decision. Not just one good year because you sat them and, oh, he's earned it and this or that.
Here's the one thing that I would say about that game, because I never want to talk about that game again. And by the way, Mrs. Tobin may be a jinx. She may be a jinx.
She went to the game too?
She went to the game too. And the last game that I took her to was the Heat Jazz 2011. She hadn't been to a Heat game in a while because most Heat games I'm working. So we went as fans. The last Heat game that I took her to was Heat Jazz. Paul Millsap led a monster comeback by the Jazz to beat the Miami Heat.
And why do you only take them to see the Jazz? That's your fault.
I don't know. It just happened to be Jazz games.
You got to keep that in the memory bank. Say, last time I took you, I took you to the Jazz. I'm not taking you to the same damn Jazz.
I thought it was a layup, baby. 7 wins. They have 7 wins, Leroy. I've never heard of the guy who dropped 34 on them.
You and the funny thing about your the Heat are in it. Oh, they're right there. We had this conversation. This playing heat. It's playing it, like, and so like that's the reality.
Bam stunk. He stunk so bad this last game.
I just think you need some continuity. I really do. think about the last 2 or 3 years with this team. Like, this has to be the only team in the NBA that every night you go, who's going to play tonight?
Who's going to play?
I've seen this for like 5 years.
How are they going to play? How do you go? You beat a week ago, you guys beat the number 2 team in the West. Saturday night, you lost to the worst team in the West.
Which means the Heat are right there in the middle. You can beat anybody. You can lose it to anybody.
I'm going to tell you right now, I hate to do this.
You putting somebody on notice? You can't say you'll send them to Utah because they just kicked you.
No, I won't send them to Utah.
They can't send them nowhere
else. I'm going to tell you something right now. Bam Adebayo.
Who? On notice?
Who? You have a legacy game tonight against Sabonis.
Legacy game tonight against Domantas
Sabonis, dude. I'm telling you right now. Because one guy he loves.
No, you're a fraud.
No, he's got a legacy game tonight.
Marcos, yeah. You see how he uses all of his little fancy words to not put Bam, his boy, on notice.
Oh, he's gonna be on notice if he doesn't show up for this legacy.
Well, if he doesn't, tonight, he's on notice.
Oh, then he's.
That's why tonight's a legacy game.
Yeah.
Tonight's a legacy game, Bam.
Remember what happened last time Sabonis was here?
Yeah, the tipping.
Come on,
probably.
To be honest with you, I think Bam needs some consistency too. Not that his role needs to be consistent.
Oh yeah, right? I would agree with that.
And this is not a knock on him making or missing shots. These things happen. What is Bam's role? Go. I'll listen. I watch every game and I go.
Screening for Duncan and Tyler.
And maybe
catching a lob.
And then sometimes taking it, you know. So, like, the teams that build and grow in any sport are the teams that have a level of consistency where every guy knows his role.
No guy probably came into this year thinking that he was going to get one thing and has gotten another. Now, listen, he has also built a brick house this year. There's no doubt.
Yes, that's, and see, that's I'm trying not because I don't want to make it about make or misses, right? But like every year before this year, you knew if Bam got that ball near the foul line or just inside the circle, that was a bucket.
Yep,
that's where he hung out. That's where he lived. He, all of his moves, all of his skill set was from that area, right? Yep. Now, it's almost like sometimes he gets it in his spots and he's, I'm not going to shoot, right? So what part of that is not having a consistent role, or what part of that is he's afraid to pull the trigger? He's afraid to go ahead on and take that shot.
Oh, man, I think he's missed his last 17 threes. And I tell you, he's abused the back of that iron. Oof.
I don't know. We know what he can do.
Rothstein called him out.
Who?
Ron Rothstein.
Oh, really? Stop the tape.
I love him. We'll take a break. There is some Jimmy Butler news that came across the wire last night. We have not even talked about
news.
We haven't talked about his suspension, but now there's some news about what's going to happen at the end of the suspension. Take a break. Back after this. Welcome back, you rascals. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the show. We're streaming live on YouTube and Twitch, the channel Miami 560 WQAM. And we'll get to all of our favorite Monday staples here. We got action tonight. Panthers, they are on the ice taking on the Colorado. We got late night action, so get the Cafe Bustelo ready, everybody. Panthers, Avalanche, tonight at 9 o'clock. And, of course, you can hear that on AM 790. And then the Heat.
How late can you drink Cafe Bustelo?
Late as you want, baby.
No, and get sleep.
Oh, me? I'm not your average bear.
I know people, which is strange, but people in my family sometimes have it before bed. Like, that's their before bed.
Yeah. I could. I don't have it, like, but if you I know had what? It tonight.
Old people. You don't know any young people could do that.
I could do that.
Oh, well.
I can have a little Cafe Bustelo and then when I need to. But listen, we got late nights ahead, man. We got this. And then tonight, the Heat start a 6-game road trip. They got the Kings tonight, 8:45 preheat. Get you going, Solana and Tommy Tighe. So we got that going for you tonight as the Heat will get going on the 6-game road trip back-to-back Sacramento and Golden State for the next 2 days. The playoff schedule is set. We got Chargers and Texans on Saturday. Steelers and Ravens that night. Then on Sunday, we got Broncos at Bills at 1 o'clock, Packers at Eagles at 4:30, Commanders at Buccaneers at night, and the Vikings, who lost last night, they are now the 5 seed and have to go to L.A. to take on the Rams.
Question. How good do you think Detroit would be without the 18 guys on IR? Is that the most astonishing thing about that team?
They got balls, dude.
Holy smokes.
They got balls. What can you say about them? I mean, like that team should change their logo to just a set of truck nuts on the side of their helmet.
you know, Ford and, you know.
They'd probably like that.
That's I'm the Motor City.
No. 2 years ago, the Dolphins smoked that team. Well, what the hell?
And you know what they were? They were patient with the process. Everybody thought that.
Not that patient. It was like 7 weeks. It's like all of a sudden everything, every fortune changed. Like the Dolphins were in the midst of this.
No, I'm talking about Detroit.
I get, yeah, but like not really. Like it was just like, oh, then all of a sudden they had this one seed year last year. And I was like, what happened? Where did we go wrong, baby? Now all of a sudden they're the cool team, the flash team. This team, this Dolphins team, not only were they average, they were
flash,
boring.
They're flash while being physical.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But they're physical first. I think that's the thing that
is that going to be the Dolphins' big thing this year? Is they're just going to go and draft a bunch of people and they're going to just tune everybody up to be physical? Like, is that possible?
If I had one goal for the Dolphins, and this is very important goal, no matter who you draft, that guy has the ability to play immediately. I'm tired of seeing, like, I don't know how high you have to go, but I'm tired of seeing a lot of these draft picks that can't get time on the field because you made a reach and it didn't work out. If you look at the teams that are having success and you look at, you know, Detroit, look at where these guys were drafted, right? Like, the person who was drafted in the first round just started getting his run in Jahmyr Gibbs. He wasn't even the damn starter.
Yeah, I know.
So, think about that.
I know. I was so excited about Jalen Wright, and then, like, I just feel like every time he touches the football, he's running 5 yards backwards. Good ending for Devon Achane, though. I'll give him props.
Yeah, which is, do you know all you need to know about your team when your star running back weighs a buck 85?
But I feel like he is tough. I do. He's
No. But again, I'm not saying he's not tough.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, does that tell you all you need to know about your team when your stud running back weighs a buck 85?
I think, like, it's definitely the identity of the Dolphins is just
that's my point.
Small.
That's small. That's my point. So, like,
here's the thing.
How's that going to play in New York when it's 22 degrees?
Not great. Like, how do they take Zach Sealer and Calais Campbell and make it on offense?
You got to have the same attitude. See, because the thing is that those two positions on defense are designed by trait to be big and physical.
Yeah, their trait is their grizzly bears.
But I'm just saying, on most teams, those two guys on the football field are your biggest, you know, and toughest guys, right? You can't go into that situation small. You get dump trucked every game.
I love Zach Sealer so much. And you want to know something on Chili Peppers, Frog Boy? I knew one thing. If we can interrupt your meeting there.
Appreciate that.
The one thing I knew, I put a parlay together yesterday. The easiest bet on that parlay, Zach Sealer over half a sack. You just knew it was going to happen. Yeah, you just knew.
For some reason, though, I know you put Jason Sanders down. I was like, that's going to hit. That's probably going to hit, too.
That hit? Yeah. Those were the easy ones. They were bang, bang. It was Jason Sanders over a field goal and a half. It was over half a sack for Zach Sealer. I put Snoop anytime touchdown, which I thought was going to hit. But the one that, you know, which, you know, all right, it didn't. They got a couple of TDs. I felt still fine about my bet. But I was just sitting here watching in the middle of the game in the second half because Cheetah, his over-under on catches was 4.5. And I was like, oh. Last week, all Snoop Huntley did was start every drive throwing to Tyreek Hill. I thought that was a layup. And then all of a sudden in the second half, I'm like, he doesn't appear to be out there. Like, where did he go? Where did he go? And I was like, oh, he must have been hurt. And they said, hey, Cheetah, sit it down, fella. No need. But nope, turns out he made that choice.
I thought it was an interesting word choice by McDaniel where he said, I was informed he was unavailable. What the hell does that mean?
So Wes Welker told him he don't want to play anymore.
But here's what a coach will say. He won't go and he'll say, hey, Cheetah's out. Simple as that.
Right, that's what
you don't go through all that on the field.
So Wes Welker goes up to McDaniel and says, hey, Cheetah's out. And then he just moves on.
He unless doesn't say he like asks why. Unless he asks why.
And then Wes Welker's just like, mm-mm.
No, but you can't. You understand? You can't have that on the sideline either. So you just move on.
Yeah, you're just like, all right,
and that's what Wes Welker does. He said, "Hey, Cheetah's out."
So like, right? He has this whole thing yesterday where he basically is like, "I'm done." You know, he leaves like, my time here has been great,
dude,
and is just basically rats off a ship on the Dolphins.
I can't, like, I don't, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I've learned to handle all the other stuff that goes on with professional sports, right? I get it. Times have changed with, you know, the hitting and how we do things and the social media and stuff like that, right? But the thing that makes it hard for me to deal with is you've been a competitor your whole life, right? You always are competing. You're always, you know, trying to win. You want to win. And when I see stuff like this, right, I'm like, it makes me extremely uncomfortable. Let me put it that way. I don't know what his reasonings were, and I don't care, right? I don't like the look of a guy who I know is an extreme competitor deciding I don't want to compete. That says more to me than anything. I get the thing people say he quit on his team and all that. I'm taking it even a step further back. In that these guys are here because of, you know, even being under duress, being in life situations, like having struggles during a game. They're extremely big competitors. And I can't imagine at any point in my life saying these words, I don't want to compete anymore. I quit playing football when I couldn't compete anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that I compete with everything else.
But not only that, it feels like, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, he's got to look out for, you know, him and his family. I'm like, all right, but I can't buy it. Like, you got into this season, right? And it's not like the Dolphins didn't take care of you coming into the season.
Right.
You can't say that they didn't take care of you. You can't say that Stephen Ross didn't give it a little bit of sweetener.
Right.
They didn't have to do that.
Right.
But they did. And
supposedly one of their guys.
Yeah. And it's just, for me, you have been given this role as the captain the entire time. And, you know, for this idea that, oh, I don't want to fish out the season. Okay, dude, I get it. And to look, I know Cheetah has been playing through the wrist injury all year. And that's kudos to that. But you're going to just stay like, now is the time you're going to say it's enough at the end.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, he's putting up, you know, his photo. I know he's a troll and he's like putting up Photoshops on Snapchat of himself going to the Chargers and things like that. But dude, I just feel like it's for me, it's fine to do that stuff in the off season. Cause I know like people get bored over the off season. You want to have a good time on social media. Mm-hmm. But this kind of goes back to his original trolling thing. And it's just like, dude, just, the time and place. I don't understand why it had to come to this at this very moment.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, yeah. And like, I don't know. I like, that's the hardest part. Like, all the other stuff, yeah, you could say that the team took care of you or whatever. I'm not even commenting on your money, right? I'm not even commenting on they've taken care of you at every turn to make sure that their guy was taken care of, right? And still, you say this after the last game for whatever reason, right? But all that aside, when you get down to the core of who we are as athletes, it's competitors. And for a competitor, in my mind, to go out and say, I don't want to compete anymore in a game that they were still in, that hits me harder than anything else. It hits me harder than contract disputes. It hits me harder than, oh, people saying you quit on your team. That portion of it right there. Because if you're a competitor and you stay true to that competitiveness, that part will carry you through all these situations and circumstances because you ain't going to never stop fighting for it, whatever it is. So the fact that he said that all the other stuff doesn't matter, I can't imagine getting to a point in my football career where I said, I'm done. I don't want to, I'm not doing that. Or a coach saying, go do this. And I say, I'm not, because the whole base of it is whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to compete at it.
That's like, you know,
we are.
Yeah. Like, you don't think Calais Campbell's exhausted?
Right. Cause he was supposed to play 20 plays a game and he didn't plays every play.
He's sitting there and he's at 38 years old, just still bowling over 300 pounders and sacking Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Even Aaron Rodgers finished it out, Tyreek. Right. Aaron Rodgers, who probably could have sat down with the last month of the season, probably
wanted that 500.
I'm sure he did. Fine. But also still
competing.
He still competed.
Although he did pull himself out of last week's game, though.
It was late. Fair.
It was late in the fourth, but he did. You know,
kind of. That's fair. Boxed in.
You know.
I mean, but
why would I use Aaron Rodgers as an example? Yeah, terrible job by me.
Minus one.
Wow.
That's just a minus one.
Only fair.
That's a minus one.
But Calais Campbell wouldn't.
Yeah.
Calais Campbell wouldn't.
True professional.
Right. But if you think about, no matter how bad things are, right? Don't, like, man. So that's the part of all of this that caught me off guard. The you know, for whatever reason, he decided at halftime, I'm not going to compete anymore. That part, because, you know, like, he talks about competing and beating everybody and running against everybody, and that's all he talks about.
Yeah.
So to get to that point at halftime of a game that you weren't out of, that's the part that hits me. All the other stuff he said and why or whatever, like, he's just trying to, you know, some people talk to try to soften the blow of the actions that they have made or the actions that they've taken in a certain situation. That's all that other stuff did to me.
We'll take a break. Our off season of the program is next.